Today on Peace to Live By.
Legalism is practicing a mode of prideful religion rather than living free in Christ. The Pharisees were more concerned about their performances rather than the actual condition of their hearts. A person cannot gain acceptance by God by following a list of rules.
Welcome to today's program. Peace to Live By is a weekly radio broadcast featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton, found on the web at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of this broadcast is to build up Christians in becoming more like Jesus Christ and to share the truth to those who don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Daniel seeks to be clear and precise in his presentation of biblical truth in this weekly broadcast. Now let's listen to today's message.
Some years ago, I was up in New England on vacation with my dad, and we were looking for some historical sightseeing places to visit. We had already been to Old Sturbridge Village in Massachusetts, and that was a beautiful collection of old American buildings and homes, and I would highly recommend it to anyone who is up that way. Nevertheless, we were in New Hampshire and were looking for something to do. You are probably familiar with those areas in the front of most hotels where you will find a vast variety of flyers or pamphlets advertising different attractions one can see. Well, my dad and I were looking through those and found one on the Canterbury Shaker Village. At the time, I knew nothing about the Shakers, and the pictures on the flyer looked interesting, so we decided to make the drive over there and see what it was all about. We made our way up into Canterbury, New Hampshire. We arrived at the Shaker Village, and they took us into a small room before touring it to tell us about the Shakers. My, let me tell you, it didn't take long in listening to the people before I realized that this village used to be the site of a cult who identified themselves as Christian. They told us back when the village was active, its heyday being in the 1800s, how the men and women were separated into different areas and their individual responsibilities and all of that. The legalism and false interpretation of Scripture were everywhere, intermixed into their way of life. They lived lives of celibacy and forbade marriage. They believed God was both male and female, and that one of their female leaders was a female Christ incarnate. Indeed, it was a miserable life the Shakers led. And it's no wonder they really didn't survive. And this is not only because of the legalism and false beliefs. They didn't even have children to keep the population going. It wasn't a fun life. But since we had already paid the entrance fee, my dad and I took the tour of the abandoned settlement with its buildings. It was a picturesque property in a scenic setting, and the buildings had that old American feel and architecture. I remember coming to a barn there out in the middle of a field. It was kind of creepy to me, something like from a creepy movie. I walked into the barn, and as I stood in the middle of the barn, I remember thinking to myself, I wonder if there are any demons around here. I thought this because I knew it had been the site of a cult and that they must be around. And suddenly, right after I had that thought, the large wooden door I had entered behind me, the doorway looking out into the field, slammed shut. So I got my answer, but it didn't bother me. I knew God was with me. I do believe demons can read our thoughts, by the way. But as I toured the grounds, I saw the inner workings of the place, the countless routines and rituals the Shakers performed, and I noted the life of legalism. Some of the rooms looked like mini factories, and one had to wonder what the actual purpose of all of this was. They had developed rigorous mechanical constructs in order to seemingly make work easier, but it looked to me like it would have made life harder. The Shakers were bound in slavery. Their ways were overbearing, and they didn't live in the freedom that Christ offers to people. They didn't have children or raise the children correctly who lived in the settlement. Family life was pushed off and sacrificed for a global communal life, and the list goes on and on. They had created their own way, which wasn't God's way, and followed a system of religion that certainly only brought spiritual death to its followers. They had created things as commands from God that God never made commands. Instead of walking by the Holy Spirit, they made a mockery of him. There was no faith in the true God, and there couldn't have been any real peace. Today, I want to talk about legalism. I want us to examine what it is, what it looks like, and how we can avoid or overcome it. Now, hopefully none of us are living in the type of bondage the Shakers had, as they had taken their legalism into false beliefs and doctrines. But legalism in and of itself still can and does affect our lives, and if left unchecked, could lead to more serious issues, like with the Shakers. It is true that not every one of us struggles with this kind of problem, that of being legalistic. For some, this sermon is going to hit more at home, but for others, it may not feel as convicting. But we can all take away something from studying legalism. So I will talk about the negative effects of legalism and things we can do to combat it. I will talk about 6 negative effects and 6 positive things to note in overcoming legalism. So today I will use the 6 versus 6 approach as we discuss legalism. I want us to turn to Mark chapter 7. If we go back to Jesus' day, the Pharisees had a lot of problems in their lives like the Shakers, and one of them definitely was legalism. They suffered from having legalistic mindsets. Jesus talked about this from time to time during his earthly ministry. So turn with me in your Bibles or tap in your Bible apps on your digital devices, and let's go to Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. I will be using this passage today as our primary text, and I will be using the English Standard Version of the Bible. It is written of Jesus, and he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." That was Mark chapter 7 and verses 6 through 9. So let's examine this passage to get some insight into being legalistic. First, we note that legalism begets hypocrisy and slavery. The Pharisees were more concerned about their performances rather than the actual condition of their hearts. They were more concerned about feeling good about their performances rather than having God feel good about their actions. And this is where pride comes into the picture. Legalism is practicing a mode of prideful religion rather than living free in Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. But legalism is slavery. A person cannot gain acceptance by God by following a list of rules. Perhaps the most famous thing Jesus said about the legalism of the Pharisees was, "They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4. This undoubtedly is at the heart of legalism. To put unreasonable burdens on others while not doing them ourselves is the heart of hypocrisy. With legalism, we feel like we never measure up to God's standard. But we as Christians have been forgiven of all of our offenses at the moment of conversion, and therefore have complete acceptance from God. The Apostle Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 3. He pointed out that we cannot gain acceptance from God by following a list of rules and regulations. Our goal as Christians is to try to have the best heart we can, to our knowledge, to want to do what is right because we love God, not because we feel God demands that we do right. Jesus said, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. This doesn't mean to be legalistic monks, but to have a right heart before God, to do things for the right reasons, not for the legalistic reasons. Legalism sucks the life out of what we do, so we no longer enjoy doing what we are doing. Second, with a legalistic attitude, the Christian keeps track of past sins and ends up repeatedly accusing him or herself of those sins. Keeping track of our past sins and continuing to feel bad about them is not God's will for our lives. The Apostle Paul stated, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. So we are to forget bad things from our past and move forward by renewing our minds in a new way of thinking. Really, with the Christian, there is no regret. I am often amazed at how fellow brothers and sisters recount negative past events, like tombstones in a cemetery. This is not supposed to be what we are doing, nor should fellow Christians keep track of others' sins and create sort of an FBI file on the person. That also is wrong. Third, legalism causes us to be judgmental toward others. We feel because of the legalistic regulations we have created that we are better Christians than others. Here again, pride creeps into the picture. But Jesus warned against this kind of behavior. He said in Luke chapter 6, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned." Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Legalism leads to inappropriate judging and condemnation of others. Jesus said not to judge in such a way that causes us to be judged. If we are guilty of something, we shouldn't be judging others for doing the same thing. Fourth, let's move to the realm of fatherhood. It is written in Colossians chapter 3, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." That was verse 21. Being legalistic can cause your children to react in ways that are improper. A father should not critically, constantly correct his child in negative ways. Correction is necessary, but it should not be overbearing. Just think how we would feel if God corrected us every time we did something wrong. That would be like every 5 or so minutes, at least. Fathers, being overbearing can cause negative emotions, emotions of discouragement within the child. Developmental disorders could develop from fear of the father's overkill discipline and perceived rejection from the father. Phobias could develop as the child begins to fear other things in his or her life. The father-son relationship is really important in childhood development. Lack of a father or incorrect parenting can cause the child to be unconfident and unmotivated. I personally believe incorrect fatherhood to be an epidemic in this country, but at least it's something that can be corrected through fathers trying harder and acting differently and from other good male role models in the lives of fatherless children. Fifth, legalism creates additions to God's rules for us. The Pharisees created many rules and regulations that they had added to God's law outlined in the Old Testament. This caused a blur in the line between God's righteous decrees and the laws of men. We shouldn't be lawmakers in our lives, creating rules we must follow in order to seemingly please God or to make ourselves feel good. It's not that having discipline in our lives isn't important, but there's a difference between good discipline and legalistic, empty rules that must be followed. You don't have to follow your rule every day in order to be correct in your behavior. A person might create a rule that he or she needs to read 3 chapters of the Bible each day, for instance, but the person shouldn't adamantly follow it without regard to reason. If a person feels like he or she can't miss keeping this rule, then legalism has set in. It was a good practice, but don't let the practice rule over you. Don't become a slave to a rule you have created so that you end up doing the action just for the sake of keeping true to the rule. That's legalism. Sixth, legalism begets a lack of consistency in behaviors. Let's look at an example of what this might look like. There are some Christians who won't go to a restaurant on Sundays because they feel it's causing people to work on Sundays, to not observe the Sabbath. All the while, they have their electricity running in their homes. You do realize, don't you, that having your electricity flowing on Sundays in your home is causing people to work. These rules and regulations don't make any sense. It's these types of behaviors that Jesus warned against. In a 7-day, 24-hour society, I think it's safe to assume that people can observe their Sabbath on different days. This isn't a collective society, for the most part, where everyone does the same things on the same days. It's an individualistic society. Now that we've considered 6 negative things that legalism can and does cause in our lives, let's look at some positive things to note in overcoming legalism. First and foremost, on the positive side, God has given us His Holy Spirit by whom we can live out the Christian life. Let's re-examine what Jesus told us in John chapter 14. He said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." That's John chapter 14 and verses 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit empowers us to understand God's Word. He helps us understand what God wants us to learn. He brings to our remembrance the things that we have read and learned in the Bible. He helps us to live out the Christian life. God the Holy Spirit brings us peace, so that our hearts are not constantly troubled, and so that we are not afraid no matter what we face in life. God's Spirit is so critical for us to be successful and pleasing to God. We can say with the writer of Hebrews, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" That's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. Second, let us remind ourselves that God loves us regardless of how we perform the Christian life. All of us have weaknesses, and none of us are perfect at anything we do. If you'll remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talked about the weakness God allowed him to have, and how God's power was made perfect in his weakness. It is okay for us as Christians to have weaknesses. And in fact, God has given us or allowed us to have our weaknesses in order that His glory might be displayed in us. If none of us had any problems, we might all become full of pride and think we are awesome in living the Christian life. Indeed, some have deceived themselves into thinking they are perfect. But as the Apostle Paul said elsewhere of Christ, "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." Third, we have to love ourselves as God loves us. If God loves us as much as he does, we should definitely love ourselves. Paul noted, after talking about how a man should love his wife, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." That's Ephesians chapter 5, 29 and 30. So if we are to love our wives more than ourselves, if we're married, then we have to at least care about ourselves as people. Now, this doesn't mean we should be narcissistic and obsessed with ourselves, but we should care. We should care about getting a daily dose of God's word and spending time in prayer with God. We should care that we are fellowshipping with other believers, loving on them as they love on us. If we aren't doing these basic things in the Christian life, then there is something wrong. We have to take care of ourselves to be healthy in Christ and building up fellow members of the body. Fourth, we should live by faith in God that we are doing right and doing the best we can. The Apostle Paul noted, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. As Paul just said, we are not to try to live under the law or any law system we have set up anymore. We are to, quote, live to God, end of quote. We are to rely on Jesus so much that he actually lives through us. We have to have faith that as long as we are trying our best, that God is pleased with our behavior. Like I stated before, we don't earn God's acceptance, but he still wants us to try the best we can. He doesn't want us to be lazy or half-hearted. Since God bought us with a price, we should glorify God in living out our lives. Fifth, we can't remain angry with ourselves when we fail. It is true that when we do fail or continue to struggle in overcoming a certain sin in our lives, that we may become angry at our failure. But there are a couple things we have to remember. Number one, God has forgiven us all our sins, including the one you are angry about. Number two, when God called us into his family, he already knew we were going to have this struggle with whatever failure or sin that it is. Therefore, we can have confidence in God that he is still with us, that he is on our side, and that he wants to see us improve, and that he will help us improve. God loves us and wants what is best for us. That being said, he isn't going to fight the battle for us. We have to try, we have to fight to be better as he strengthens us for the battle with his power and as we have faith in him. Remember, we are to, quote, "in all circumstances take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one," end of quote. Indeed, Satan is constantly accusing us before God in heaven, but Jesus is there as our advocate. Sixth and finally, we are to live with peace of mind and be thankful. The Apostle Paul tells us, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. We can't be legalistic and peaceful at the same time. In order to overcome legalism, we have to trade the rigorous legalistic behaviors for behaviors that are done out of love and peace. With Christ is true peace because we really don't have anything we have to worry about in this life, as hard as that may seem. I think developing this mindset is a continual struggle for all of us, as it takes total faith and belief in God's ability and God's love for us. Having this mindset is a continual, constant process in reminding ourselves of God's ability and love in day-to-day life. Our peace should not be dependent on our daily circumstances or what is going on in our lives. In conclusion today, we have to remember that not only does God love all of us as Christians in the world, But really, God loves everyone in the world. He loved the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for the sins of the whole world so that anyone who is willing can come to him and have a new life. Perhaps today you don't know God. You don't have a relationship with him. Maybe you've been listening to what I've been talking about, and you feel you would like to get out from under legalism, and you're not a Christian. Well, today, God leaves open the door of his salvation for anyone who would believe in him. No matter who you are, God wants you to come into a personal relationship with him by believing in Jesus' death on the cross on your behalf for your sins, the things you have done in your life against God. You see, God sent his son Jesus into the world some 2,000 years ago, who died on a Roman cross for the sins of the whole world. God, in his righteousness, demands payment for sin. Most people will end up bearing God's wrath in a place the Bible calls hell, which is eternal torment for anyone who ends up there. But God doesn't want anyone to have to go there, and that's why he sent Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world. He rose from the dead, and he now lives with God the Father in heaven, he himself being God the Son. God will grant eternal life to anyone who would believe in Jesus, and you will never again be in danger of any of God's wrath to come in the future. God gives eternal life in which we will live with God forever. This life will be in total peace with the desires of your heart, having things you truly want in heaven with God. God will be your Father and take care of you forever. He is the Father of the fatherless and Father to anyone who will let him in. If you would like to accept Jesus today as your personal Lord and personal Savior and gain eternal life and a new life starting today in God, then follow my lead in this prayer. God, I come to you today as a sinner. I have done things against you in my life, but today I want to accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross on my behalf for my sins. And I believe he rose from the dead and is now with you in heaven. God, I give my life over to you because I want you to be in the driver's seat of my life. Please, Father, change my life. Change me from the inside out and make me become like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Daniel. This is the Peace to Live By radio program featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton. The goal of the Peace to Live By broadcast is to give Christians firm foundations in biblical truth and to share the truth with those who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. To read transcripts or download entire messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/peacetoliveby. Please let us know how Peace to Live By has helped you in your walk with Jesus. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. These messages are encouraging for us. Again, the web address for Peace to Live By is peacetoliveby.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. And we'll be back next week with another message from Daniel Litton on Peace to Live By. The Bible says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." Peace to Live By with Bible teacher Daniel Litton is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry, Powell, Ohio.